negative side effects to their developing brains. And Bain Capital, Democrats say the firm's takeover led to the loss of hundreds of jobs in Michigan. We'll talk about exactly how Mitt Romney's company operated when he was running the show. But first, the Michigan Catholic Conference filing a lawsuit this week in U.S. District Court challenging the birth control mandate, part of the Affordable Care Act. It's one of several such suits by Catholic entities against the provision, including the University of Notre Dame and the Catholic University of America. Michigan Catholic Conference President and CEO Paul Long joins us now to talk about his suit. Paul, thank you so much for joining us here on 1320 WILS.
My pleasure, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Now, last time we talked, President Obama announced this compromise that free birth control coverage would be the responsibility of the insurance companies and not of the Catholic organizations. So why does this approach not work for you?
Well, because the vast majority of Catholic organizations are self-insured. And so, in essence, they are the insurance company. That's number one. Number two, the president's proposal was that insurance companies would cover these costs. Well, there isn't an insurance company in the world that's going to just do something for nothing. So who pays those costs? It winds up getting pushed to the purchaser of the insurance coverage, which is the church, for those that are not self-insured, for those that buy an insurance product from an insurance company. And so the president's alleged accommodation was nothing more than a simple changing of the deck chairs. It wasn't a real accommodation, and it wasn't a real effort to try to accommodate the need for a real religious exemption.
What kind of exemption are you looking for exactly then?
Well, the exemption, there should be a real exemption that simply provides an exemption to this mandate for all religious entities without the excessive four-prong test that they've laid out, which there is no precedent for in any other governmental program.
And Catholic institutions that are tied into insurance companies that are also have non-religious clients, they would not be affected in your mind by this kind of birth control coverage that these non-religious employers would be involved in?
I'm sorry, Michael, I don't understand.
Well, in terms of the exemption, then it would simply for Catholic institutions that are not self-insured, how would that work for them? Their insurance companies would not be covering the costs then also?
That's correct. That is correct, just as it's done today. And, you know, every business, every organization has the ability to put in their health benefit what they would or would not want. What they will and will not cover. And so, you know, the proposal here is that you have a religious exemption that is provided on the basis of religious organizations without having to say from a very onerous perspective that the government would be coming in and the government deciding who is religious and who is not religious.
Now, what about those that say that this is a women's health issue, that contraception is sometimes prescribed for reasons other than avoiding pregnancy and that it should not involve a religious outlook?
Well, again, the purpose of this, the point of this lawsuit and the point of this whole debate has nothing to do with the issue of contraception. It is all about religious liberty. It is all about what power will the government have over religious organizations when, in fact, the First Amendment of the United States Constitution is very clear. The government does not have power over religious organizations and should not have power over religious organizations.
Are there other things other than birth control related coverage that Catholic organizations focus on when it comes to this kind of healthcare coverage?
Well, this mandate provides it's a mandate that contraception is covered. It's a mandate that sterilizations are covered, and it's a mandate that abortion-inducing drugs are covered. All of this, the Michigan Catholic Conference has provided a health benefit to the employees of the Catholic Church throughout this state since 1970. At no such time has any of those three services been provided in our health benefit program, and it will not be provided in our health benefit program going forward.
I'm talking to Paul Long. He is the president and CEO of the Michigan Catholic Conference, which filed a lawsuit today against this birth control mandate, part of the Affordable Care Act. So, Paul, what would happen then if the court ruled against you? Would you then have to go along with the president's plan?
Well, we'll take that. We'll work on that and look at that when that happens, and if that were to happen. Our belief is that the court system in the third branch of government, it's to provide a fair and balanced view of issues and take into the concerns of those who are raising a claim. And we believe that the justice system will provide the necessary means for relief. And we'll look forward to this being, the courts making these decisions. And if in the end, we believe that it will come out in our favor. But if in the end, for some reason, it should not, then we will cross that bridge when we come to it.
Well, what about the president's general motive, which he explains as wanting to allow women, many of whom financially can't afford birth control, to avoid situations of unwanted pregnancy and potential abortion? Do you generally agree that that's a rational approach towards the problem we have in the country?
Well, again, this issue and this lawsuit has nothing to do with the issue of contraception. This has everything to do with religious freedom and the power of the government to interfere in the internal affairs of religious organizations.
And so, this is the only provision in the entire structure of the Affordable Care Act that the Catholic Conference and other Catholic organizations are opposed to.
Well, no, there are other provisions in the Affordable Care Act that we have significant concern about with regard to the issue of abortion and the funding thereof, with regard to the ability of the government to declare that abortion is a necessary emergency service, and things of that nature. The Catholic Church, which has supported national health insurance since 1905, almost 100 years ago, during the administration of President Theodore Roosevelt, the one organization that has supported it, the first organization that has supported the notion that everybody be covered for all of these years, in the end, when the Affordable Care Act was passed, it opposed the legislation. It urged a no vote on the legislation because of concerns with regard to the life and dignity of the human person. And while the paramount interest is to ensure that every single individual in this country is covered with health insurance, the notion that the provisions in this legislation with regard to human life, with regard to the dignity of the human person, were very questionable. And so in the end, the church had to oppose the legislation.
Well, the Catholic leadership clearly is against these provisions, but is it clear to you that Catholics in general agree?
Well, I think that, the church has always functioned, Michael, from the premise that it speaks to the issues of what its teachings are and lays out the groundwork. It doesn't look at what poll numbers are. It doesn't test the winds. It speaks from a perspective of what it believes to be the truth. Now, that said, if we look at recent polling data, it shows that a majority of people in this country are opposed to this mandate. A majority of these people are opposed to religious organizations being forced to cover services which are against their beliefs and their teachings, and that a majority of women are against such practices. And so, when you weigh all of that, you wonder why and how we ever got into this situation to begin with.
Paul Long, the president and CEO of the Michigan Catholic Conference. Paul, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
My pleasure, Michael. Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the state Senate's passage of work-sharing legislation. It was proposed by Governor Snyder last November, and now it looks like it's on the way to becoming a state law. We'll find out exactly what it means and what it will mean to workers and employers. That's next. I'm Michael Cohen, and this is 1320 WILS.